Grace be to you from the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The word of the living God upon which we meditate this morning is taken from the Proverbs, from chapter 10, verse 12, and from chapter 17, verse 9. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, whose love we are to reflect, dear fellow redeemed in his precious blood. Mom, Isaac took a cookie without asking. Mom, Jacob is picking all of the flowers in your garden. Mom, Brandon took away a toy from Allison. Sometimes little children find it necessary to run and tell their mother every wrong that everyone else might ever commit. We call such a child a tattletale. A tattletale almost looks for an opportunity to run and tell. Now, it's important that children tell their parents when something dangerous arises, but not every situation is a dangerous one. What should concern parents is the attitude of the tattletale. In many cases, a tattletale rejoices in telling about someone else's misdeed, even if that means not giving them opportunity to confess their wrong. If the motivation for telling mom is pride or self-righteousness, then that's not a good thing. Sometimes a tattletale's motive is not love for the guilty, but pride for oneself and self-righteousness. But of course, and I know this is going to come as a shock to you, children aren't the only ones who can exhibit a loveless attitude. Guess what I saw last night? I saw John Smith coming out of the bar at 1 a.m. I heard Jim Smith cursing right along with another bunch of hoodlums. When we see someone else's faults and weaknesses, how do we react? Is our first response to run and tell someone, like the child, like a tattletale? Do we quietly remember an event to store it away in our minds so that we can someday regurgitate it and throw it in someone else's face? Is that healthy? Is that God-pleasing? As we live for eternity while also living in this world, what is our attitude when we see another's mistake, when we see another person's sin? Are we quick to unnecessarily point out mistakes and shortcomings of others, but remain blind to our own problems? Are we living in love or in hate? This morning, our Heavenly Father speaks to us about our attitude toward the daily misdeeds and faults of our neighbors, our fellow human beings, especially our fellow Christians. Our Father warns us about living in this world with hurtful and hateful attitudes, because he would have us live in love toward one another. May God the Holy Spirit bless our study and fill us with the love of Christ, a living fruit of the gospel of Christ. Amen. Hatred stirs up strife, and he who repeats a matter separates friends. Some time ago, I was flipping through the educational channels when I came upon a program entitled O'Shea's Big Adventure. I don't know if you remember it. I don't think it was on very long. However, what I saw Mr. O'Shea doing is hardly what I would call an adventure. He had chased a very, very large anaconda, a snake, into a muddy hole and was proceeding to pull it out by its tail. Now, digging around in a snake's hole, if that's an adventure, That's one I don't want to share in. Likewise, I don't care to stir up a hornet's nest or poke a sleeping bear. When the proverb says here, hatred stirs up strife, the word translated stir up paints the picture of shaking someone to wake them up or to stir up a snake's den. When we set out to cause contention, strife, hard feelings, we express not a loving, but a hateful attitude. You see, hate isn't merely an emotion that we feel within, but it's an attitude that expresses itself in words and in actions. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, I've never done a hateful thing in all my life, Pastor, then let me ask you, have you ever looked for an opportunity to get even with someone for something they said or did to you? What do you think that was? You ever tried to dig up dirt on someone to use to tear down their reputation? What do you suppose that was? Have you ever forgiven someone for something that they did to you and then told it to someone else and then later recounted it to them to make them feel bad? What do you suppose that was? We can see the danger in stirring up a hornet's nest, at least I hope we can, or playing with snakes. But somehow we have blinders on when it comes to being angry with a family member or a spouse. Then we justify saying something nasty. What's the result of a hateful attitude? The proverb says, hate divides. When faults and failings of others are unnecessarily repeated and not forgiven, then friendships and families are torn in pieces. Let's call a spade a spade. These are expressions not of love, but of hate. And let's not try and justify harmful or hurtful words by saying, well, he started it. Hateful words and actions are also serious sins. The fifth commandment isn't difficult to understand. You shall not murder. And before you say to yourself, Pastor, hateful words and actions are hardly murder, then I would remind you what the Apostle John said in his first epistle. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. That's right. And Luther was trying to get at that when he explained the meaning of the fifth commandment with the words you all memorized in confirmation class. We should fear and love God, that we do not hurt nor harm our neighbors in his body, but help and be a friend to him in every bodily need. Let's not pretend that our Heavenly Father overlooks hateful words and actions. He is not well pleased. But our Father was well pleased with our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved even those who expressed hate toward him. When he was spit upon, punched, mocked, crowned with thorns, and finally crucified by hateful men, he did not once cry out against them, but instead cried to the Heavenly Father, saying, Father, forgive them. He did not respond to hate with hate, but with love. But I don't tell you this because Jesus is merely an example to follow. I don't tell you this so that you think to yourselves, well, I should do the same thing. Good luck with that. We're sinful human beings. We do what we shouldn't do. What Jesus did was done because we couldn't do it. As our perfect substitute, he obeyed every commandment of God and fulfilled it for us, so that by faith, his perfect record could be accounted to us. On the cross, Jesus prayed that their hate and ours would be covered, atoned for, and forgiven. And then he laid down his life to make it so. Their hateful words and actions and ours should be wiped away from the knowledge and sight of God forever. And they have been. As those who have been made God's children by faith in Christ, we should not look to purposely broadcast the mistakes and the misdeeds of other people. Certainly not in order to hurt them. Instead, we are to look to it that their sins be covered by the blood of Jesus. You see, hatred refuses to forgive. We see that enough in the world right now. Whereas love forgives and then forgets. Love covers all sins. He who covers a transgression seeks love. Now, the first time we read that through, we probably think to ourselves, that doesn't seem right. Doesn't the Bible say that if we try to cover our sins or hide them from God, that we will not prosper? It does. In fact, it's in the same book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." But take a look. The proverb here isn't encouraging us to cover up our own sins, is it? It doesn't say love covers sins and hides them from God. The only love that does that is the love of Jesus and his blood. This proverb isn't encouraging a loveless attitude that says, well, it's not really my business if someone else's sins. That's his problem. Because Scripture tells us, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted." Moreover, this proverb isn't encouraging us to be big enough to overlook it when our brother sins against us. It doesn't say love ignores sin. That's not what our Father did. He laid our sin on his Son. The Lord is clear what should be done when someone sins against us. He says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. This proverb speaks of the loving attitude we should have toward those who sin against us over against the hateful attitude that we see in this world. In this world, we have this attitude that says, if someone gets you, you get them back. If someone sins against you, you don't forgive them. You never let them forget it. Our Heavenly Father teaches us the polar opposite. He speaks of the loving attitude our Heavenly Father would have us show toward others because we ourselves have been forgiven, but we didn't deserve it, in the blood of Jesus. It compares how our world acts in being unforgiving and how God's children ought to act. Our Father doesn't want us to cover our sins from him or try and cover someone else's sins up either. But it's not necessary for us to broadcast the private sins of someone else. That's what it's talking about when it says love covers a multitude of sins. The attitude that says, I have something to tell, like the tattletale, is an attitude of hate, not of love. What else would we call it when we see sin taking place, ruling the lives of loved ones, turning them away from God and his face from them, and then pretend it's not my business, it never happened, it's not important? But instead of rubbing people's faces in their sins, in love we want to see to it that they are penitent, sorry for their sins, and trust in Jesus and obtain forgiveness. That's the comparison that's made here in the Proverbs. Hatred makes no effort to see to it that sins are confessed and forgiven. Instead, it stirs up strife and tears family and friends apart. True love, the kind that God has placed into our hearts by faith in Jesus Christ, makes every effort to see to it that sins are forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Love isn't pretending sin's not there. Love is seeing to it that sins are covered up and paid for in Jesus' blood. That is real love. In Christ, our Father has shown us the love that we should show to each other. That means holding our tongues from time to time, not pointing out the little things that people have made a mistake about, but letting it go. When a sin is forgiven, it's also to be forgotten, not dredged up later and thrown back into someone's face who committed it. If a sin is forgiven by God, it's forgotten by God. If it's forgiven by you, it ought to be forgotten as well. Today, thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin, however great our trespass, whatever we have been. However long for mercy our hearts have turned away, thy precious blood can cleanse us and make us white today. Today thy gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a Father's welcome and pardon for their sin. The past shall be forgotten, a present joy be given, a future grace be promised, a glorious crown in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Hear our pleas before your throne of grace. We come to you this hour and ask to be supplied with every needful blessing. Protect us and our homes from the destructive forces of fire and flood, from windstorm and hail, from accident and from disease, from all acts of violence and from calamities of every sort. Supply our wage earners with steady employment and enable them to provide them for the necessities of life. Prosper each of us in his individual callings. May all that we do redound to your glory, and let nothing we do be of harm either to ourselves or to others. Especially we implore your blessings upon our children. Tenderly enfold them in your protecting arms, keeping them from serious sickness and disease, and guarding them from injury, that they may become men and women who will serve you with pious lives. Bless them with a thorough understanding of your word, and call to their constant remembrance their Christian upbringing. Help them through their difficult years and enable them to remain true to the Savior Jesus. We pray for the elderly members of this congregation, asking that you sustain them in every infirmity and give them relief from their ailments. Protect them from injury and illness and preserve their mental alertness. Enable them to come regularly to this house of worship to be comforted by your word and sacraments. Bless also all pastors and teachers of your word. Enable them to fulfill their high calling, moved by love for you and for the souls you have placed in their care. Fill them with a godly zeal for your word and keep them from teaching error. O God, give us the Holy Spirit that he might lead us along the path of righteousness and preserve our faith as we journey through these evil days. Hear our prayers at your throne of grace according to your promise. Forgive our countless sins and iniquities for Jesus' sake, and grant our weary souls peace. Write our names forever in your book of life. For all your manifold blessings, we thank you, precious Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. One additional prayer has been requested on behalf of Heather Parent, who this past week celebrated a birthday. We pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we kneel before your throne today and thank you that you have again faithfully and daily provided all our needs of body and soul. You have given us your word and blessed us with the health and the desire to hear it preached. For these blessings, we thank you, Lord. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, our times are in your hands. We ask that you look with favor upon Heather Parent as she begins another year of grace, mercy, and blessing. Lord, you have blessed her with many things. We especially thank you for the seed of faith which you have planted in her heart and have nourished and caused to grow through your word. Grant that she may continue to grow in both wisdom and grace and strengthened further in her trust in all of your promises all the days of her life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.